just to give us a bit of a baseline, could you define what the term victim survivor of crime encompasses in this context?
The term is now fairly broadly framed. It can be all people that have been the victim of crime directly, or it could be broader family members of victims of crime, or potentially witnesses to criminal incidents. Within the context of the New South Wales framework, the Charter and rights to compensation, the definitions can be narrower, especially with regard to compensation. But otherwise, we take a fairly broad definition, and one that would require, particularly with victim survivor, the decision of the individual to self-identify as such.
The New South Wales government has recently passed legislation to appoint an independent commissioner to champion the rights of victim survivors. What kind of official advocacy or legislation has previously existed that this new commissioner and organisational structure will supersede?
The changes of 2025 mirror the changes that have been in place now for some years, well over a decade, where we've had a Victims of Crime Commissioner, a Charter of Victim Rights, and various powers available to the Commissioner to investigate disputes, to determine applications for victims' compensation, and to support victims generally. What has now changed is that the Office of Victims Commissioner, the incumbent, will be appointed by the Governor, will not be able to be removed from office, but on incapacity by the Governor, cannot be removed under public sector legislation, and has broader roles regarding, or functions of office regarding systemic reviews of crime victim rights, victims' involvement in various processes, their representation in courts, their representation to government, and is able to invoke courses of reform perhaps more easily than predecessors. But it's really the statutory independence only on removal by the Governor that is probably the most significant change. Otherwise, the Charter of Rights is largely untouched by the current legislation, but that might then be the focus of the incumbent to perform a systemic review of the various rights available in the Charter. How enforceable are they? Complaints mechanisms and ways in which victim satisfaction with criminal justice processes can be increased. It's similar in some respects to what we see across the other states and territories where we've had commissioners of victim rights variously described with statutory independence, previously able to represent victim interests, able to perform systematic reviews of the justice process to better integrate victims, to increase victim satisfaction with those processes. So I think it's a good step. But we're at the very beginning of it, and we have to wait to see what the incumbent decides to do. The commissioner will be appointed for a five-year term. That five-year term can be extended into a second five-year term, but they're only allowed two terms before a new commissioner is appointed.
As part of this restructure, I guess, the previous advisory committee has had a name change, I believe, and it still has the same representatives, including a representative from New South Wales Police. Are there any kind of checks and balances in place currently to avoid, I guess, mistreatment or conflicts of interest where a victim survivor may have actually been affected by police actions, say, for example, the recent case where the Greens candidate was assaulted?
Yes, well, that's an interesting case. Those are actions in civil law. The Commissioner of Victim Rights would ordinarily focus on the criminal justice system, although not necessarily. There are victims of abuses of state power, abuses, for instance, of the incorrect application of power or illegal application of power by New South Wales Police. that could then fall within a civil system, as we currently see with unlawful searches and the police response to those searches. With regard to advisory committees and advisory boards, I think it's important to understand the role of the police as an important connect between victims of crime and systems of justice and systems of criminal justice and prosecution in particular. The police, of course, don't represent individual victims. They have a much broader public role. But for most victims, the research I've conducted and that others have conducted with victims of crime in New South Wales, they indicate that an important advocate for them, at least point of connection for them, for victims, has been the investigative police officer. So for the most part, most victims would say that the police are important, they are essential, they furnish and provide information, keep victims up to date. Although that might not be their full role or their prescribed role in justice processes, they nonetheless have a very important role with victims of crime and promote victim connection and satisfaction with the justice system. That's not always to say that all victims are satisfied with police or that there might not be instances of police abuse of power, misuse of force, as we've seen with strip search laws and their application. But we're a representative for the New South Wales Police. It's on an advisory commission, advisory board to a commission or to the Victims of Crime Commissioner. That's not to say that the views of any one person on an advisory board necessarily carries over to the commissioner, or is, you know, they sit on that board in a capacity to direct the commissioner. So part of a voice within a larger process, and you'll have members of the legal profession, members of the community, victims' rights organisations, Indigenous representation, and other persons providing informed perspectives, where on an advisory board, particular views of the New South Wales Police that might be unproven or controversial or yet untested by the courts, where they might be advocating unfairly or disproportionately for the police, can be countenanced by the views of other representatives. And that's the purpose of, you know, a broadly framed, constituted advisory board or committee.
Of course, this is going to be still a bit of a new beginning with the commissioner and the TWSTA legislation. What kind of practical actions would you like to seek, and what you think victim survivors would like to see occur that would perhaps not have been carried out previously, where there's, I guess, been a gap?
Yes, certainly. The previous occupants of the Office of Commissioner of Victim Rights largely confined themselves, not exclusively, but largely confined themselves to overseeing processes for victims' compensation. And those are very significant processes that require significant oversight, and that is being provided. But the role of Victims Commissioner provides far greater, broader leadership across the justice system and justice systems, both civil but mostly criminal, and is an important site for the development, review and reform of those systems. That is what is now provided in the current office. And I would think that the incumbent would look to such instruments as the Charter of Victims' Rights, has the charter and the individual rights that are prescribed provide the relevant services, representation, recourse to advocacy and information that victims in the, well into the 21st century would expect of such a charter. I would imagine that an incumbent would want to conduct a review of the charter because that is what connects so many aspects of an individual victim's what we call justice journey through the justice system, starting with the crime and reporting to the police, going all the way through court processes, which can be very complex, depending on how the matter is dealt with, through sentencing, through appeal, into corrections, parole, and even post-parole, post-release. So there's many different points at which victims connect and their expectations of the justice system and of individuals within the justice system that fall under the charter, the police, the DPP prosecutors, other justice officials, court staff, victims' rights organisations funded by the state, for instance, that also might be providing services. All of these participants assist victims along the way, but many of the entitlements of victims are provided for under the charter. So it's important that that charter is really reviewed systematically in any event, but certainly over time, where many years have passed, it requires a systematic review to make sure those charter rights speak to the needs of victims, and where there needs to be updates or changes, that those are made.